Tappers, welcome in to another edition of the Daily Tap. It is Monday, August 6th. Happy to talk to you guys from a rainy Milwaukee. Only Wisconsin can you go from being hotter than shit on Sunday and sweating your ass off to wearing a hoodie while you tape a podcast. So this is going to be a good one. Looking forward to talking about training camp, a little family night recap, if you will. Looking at the Brewers weekend and talking about the succession finale. So all of that is there. You guys know where to find us. SnowTapWI, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can also subscribe on iTunes, subscribe on Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher. If you have one that we do not currently host a podcast on, please let us know and we will get that on there immediately. If you're like, I have to listen on SoundCloud because you're not on something like that, we'll get it on there. Also, too, if this is coming through a little choppy, we heard that feedback yesterday or on Saturday's podcast, so I apologize for those who've listened and you had a little choppiness. Hopefully to avoid that happening again. But, yeah, please let us know if that does come through. If it doesn't come through smooth today, we'll be happy to fix that and take a look at it. Tapping the Keg will be tomorrow night, so Mitch and I will get that ready for Wednesday, get you guys ready for a first preseason game, as well as talk about the Brewers and potentially the Bucks over-unders, look at all of that. So as we begin, we're going to talk about family night, but that is brought to you by SnowTap Gaming. What is SnowTap Gaming? SnowTap Gaming is your one-stop shop for fantasy football, daily fantasy football, as well as gambling. So what it'll be is you'll get Fantasy Fast Five all throughout training camp, basically keeping you updated on what is going on throughout the training camp season that has fantasy impact to it. You'll also receive Murph's Big Board, which will get consistently updated. Murph will put notes inside the different position. Right now, he has just quarterbacks, but he'll be working on running backs, working on wide receivers, getting that for you so you know why someone might be a little more highly valued or someone might not be as highly valued. Some are obvious, right? We all know that you should be picking David Johnson or you should be picking Le'Veon Bell. We're kind of off Le'Veon Bell, but you should be picking a guy like Davante Adams, whose hype is very real. Davante with the gold or the yellow sleeves today. I was a big fan of that. I don't know if that's going to be a thing for the Packers this season, but I'm here for it and I'm ready for it. So SnowTap Gaming, it's on Patreon, patreon.com/SnowTap Gaming. We do usually provide the link in these. We're going to do a lot of hype this week. So if you're like, wow, you guys are posting a lot, we want you guys to sign up. We believe in this product. We want it to go. If it does not go, there will be an alternative theory there. So, but we want this. We believe in it. We hope you guys do too. If you have any questions, shoot me a DM. I'd be happy to talk to you about it. All right, let's talk a little bit about family night. So family night, I guess, isn't what it used to be. Family night used to be a full-on game. It used to feature situational moments. It used to seem you'd have the second team versus the first team or first team versus first team. And then with the risk of injury and things like that, you just had more of a practice feel. Now, granted, you had some one-on-ones. You did have some game situations. And, people like going to it, and it's a good event put on by the Packers because a lot of people who go to family night can't go to an actual game. And so to be able to get up to Lambeau for the low price of $10 is great. I mean, it's a great value. So a couple people stood out more. This one stood out more in family night. The other one has just stood out in training camp in general. But you had Montrevious Adams just wreak havoc and just play really well at the family night, and definitely probably one of the top players to watch in the first preseason game this year. Adams, if you remember, was a third-round pick last season and did not really have much impact. I'm not even sure if he ended up getting in a game. He may have gotten in a couple, but he went on IR and he wasn't really heard from all season. Now, Adams had a lot of talent Some people thought the Packers drafted him a little too high, but because they drafted him basically on his potential, he didn't always live up to that when he was in Auburn. Well, Adams apparently is in very good shape and ready to be a part of this team. And if Adams ends up being a factor for this defensive line, that's already a strength for the Packers, and they only get better. If Adams is this force, and, you know, I think we undersell. I'm starting to, after reading some of the guys like Evan Silva and a few of the more analytic types who basically say that preseason does matter a little bit. It doesn't matter, but it's like we can't completely discount preseason, but we also shouldn't throw all our eggs in the preseason. It's somewhere in the middle, just like everything else in life. And so Adams playing well is exciting. I think it's worth keeping an eye on because, yes, that defensive line becomes even stronger with a guy like Adams being sort of a rotational player in there. And you can have a very mean front line with guys like Kenny Clark, Adams, Mike Daniels, I mean, Dean Lowry. We saw Dean Lowry last year Dean Lowry's a great example of preseason sort of bearing out into a regular season. Dean Lowry had a great preseason, and people wondered if he was going to make a jump, and he sure did. So we'll see if the same thing happens for Montrevious Adams. The other guy who's really sort of getting that buzz is Jake Kumerow. So Jake Kumerow is a Whitewater grad, but he's bounced around the NFL for a few years. He's 26 years old. He's from Illinois. He's actually his cousins with the Bosa brothers, if you're curious on that. I saw that in his Packer profile as I looked how to pronounce his last name because I've butchered it a couple times just talking to people. And he's maybe the new Jeff Janis, but he's the Jeff Janis that Aaron Rodgers actually likes. Like Aaron Rodgers is all in on this guy. He said he had a fantastic training camp. He's playing with the ones. Like, he's having a great camp for the Packers right now. And so you ask yourself, is there going to be a roster spot for this guy? I'm unsure. I mean, he's having a good enough camp where the Packers probably can't put him on practice squad, because if he gets put on the practice squad, I think somebody's going to claim him. I don't think he's the type of player you can keep on the practice squad at this point, just with how good he's played. Now, granted, he has to actually do it in games, but I'm pretty confident that the Kumerow hype is going to go beyond just practice, and it's going to bear out in games. I mean, yes, Trevor Davis is the obvious one that could get replaced on this, but you also have, you know, you have Sanquez Valdez, you have Jamon Moore, obviously not getting cut, Equanimeous St. Brown. I mean, those are all guys who the Packers drafted this year, St. Brown and Scantling Valdez, or MSV as some have called him. I think I'm going to call him MSV, that, you know, have the idea where could Kumerow beat out one of those guys, and could one of those guys end up on, you know, a sort of a practice squad or something like that? And, you know, because right now and Mitch would tell you, because Mitch is more of the, I wouldn't call him the cynic, but he's more of the guy who kind of is a realist. Like, Packers have this problem every year. There's always receivers. But it seems like Kumerow is different. It seems like Kumerow is not like a Jeff Janis in the sense that he's actually getting love from Aaron Rodgers, and he's catching passes from Rodgers, and he's working in with the ones. And you're not seeing that from a lot of the other rookies besides Jamon Moore. So I don't know. I mean, Valdez could be a player. I mean, MSV has some talent, but he's a drop. He has drop issues. And I don't know if that's a guy you want to keep on your roster. He's a big play receiver because of the height and everything like that. If you worry that the drops are going to be a thing, and maybe he's the one that you leave off. I mean, St. Brown to me has, you know, next level potential. Deshaun Kizer obviously believes in him, thinks highly of him, being a former teammate. And I really think we'll see some good things out of St. Brown come preseason, come the games. You know, the receiver core in general and family day was up and down. There were some spectacular things made. Moore made a great catch, but they also had some drops, some issues with communication. So the receiving core, I think, is sort of still in that vibe of we don't know where they where they're going to bear out. I mean, you have Randall Cobb battling an ankle injury. Seems to be fine, but it's the same ankle he got surgery on 7 weeks ago, so it's still not exactly healed, which is a bit of a concern. Obviously, I don't think we expect him for the first game against Tennessee this week. Maybe against Pittsburgh, maybe in the third week, we'll actually get to see Randall Cobb. But it appears that, you know, this is still bothering him. So, bearing out that it doesn't, I mean, I think you're looking at a receiving core of obviously Devontae Adams, Cobb, and Geronimo Allison at this point. But Moore will be gone, and I think Kumerow has a chance. I don't know if he's a fourth or fifth wide receiver. But to me, I don't know why anyone would think that Trevor Davis deserves a spot besides him being a return specialist. But I don't even know if he's that good at that position either. And or is it really needed in the world of where everything's really a touchback? All you really need is a punt returner. If they can replace Davis from a punt returner position, then they're okay. All right, moving on to the Brewers. So the Brewers had themselves a nice Saturday and an almost good Sunday. So the Brewers were down 4-1, a crazy ninth inning that really was self-inflicted by the Rockies. The Rockies' bullpen and catcher Murphy, Tom Murphy, were so bad. And the Brewers really didn't deserve to go to extra innings. They nearly break through in the 10th, have sort of a similar situation where the bottom of the order was up and they just couldn't come through. In the 11th, the bottom of the order couldn't come through after the Brewers had got a runner on after Nolan Arenado hits a home run. You could argue, well, Corey Knebel could have walked him after being down 2-0. But then again, you'd have to deal with noted Brewer killer and perhaps the president of the Brewer Killer Club, Trevor Story, up at the plate, who had already homered and drove in 4 runs. So I don't know if you really wanted to mess with Trevor Story at this moment. So I don't necessarily mad about that loss, because it wasn't one where you deserved to win it. It would have stole it. The Cubs ended up losing to the Padres 10-6, I believe. So it really was sort of a small potatoes loss. Now the Cubs play tonight. I believe they play the Royals. And so we'll see if the Cubs can gain a game, or if they lose, the Brewers will then be halfback. They do face the gas can that is Jake Junis, who just gives up home runs to everyone. So it could be a night where you see the Cubs mash. Would not be surprised getting to beat up on the lowly Royals after playing the Padres. So tough life for the Cubs. Brewers do get the Padres in town on Tuesday for a 3-game set before going out to Atlanta, and then a exciting 2-game series against the Cubs. Too bad both games are during the day, where the Brewers have absolutely sucked this season. So not looking forward to that, but that could be a huge swing depending on what all else happens in between that. So I feel right now the Brewers are in a decent spot. They're battling for position. They claim Jordan Lyles off waivers. Jordan Lyles is an interesting player. He'd been notoriously bad against lefties. Where have we heard that before? Julius Chacin and others. Lyles is not going to be a starter, probably more of a bullpen arm. He's going to get activated Tuesday or Wednesday against his former team, the Padres. We'll see if sort of the ability to, whether Matt Albers is going to be DFA'd, and they're just going to eat his second year of his contract. I mean, maybe they'll have Albers eat it. That was a mean fat joke, but it has to be said. I just don't think the guy's in shape. I don't know if you can DL somebody for get yourself in the gym and start working out and eating yourself better, because it just seems like he's overweight. It seems like there is no movement on his pitches. Like, the guy needs to drop like 20 pounds. And I get it. Like, weight loss isn't something to make fun of. I have issues with weight loss. I put on weight this summer, but like, come on, man. Like, you're a professional athlete. I'm just a unemployed blogger sitting on his couch taping a podcast. So, I mean, there is, you gotta put your ass in gear. Finally, the Succession finale. Okay, first of all, if you haven't watched Succession, I recommend it. Do it. Binge that out. If you're off today for some reason, it's raining cats and dogs in Milwaukee. Go out there, watch all of Succession. The finale, I wouldn't say it was great. I said I think it was a great ending because it definitely set up season two. We thought that Kendall was going to take over the company. We thought it was over. We thought, where would Logan go? Where would this happen? And he basically turned his back on his family and he'd be this pariah. Instead, he gets into a massive car crash with the guy who basically Logan told to fuck off and leave as he was looking for blow. There's ketamine in the car. They somehow find the ketamine in the car, which was, I think they may have found it on him, but basically they blackmail him without blackmailing him. Kendall realizes he can't confide in any of his family, feeling extremely alone and feeling isolated and realizing that he needs his father's love. And his father calls him his number one boy and hugs him and all this shit. And basically they call it off and that he's still working underneath his dad. And basically his dad is still the king. And I think that was like the thing is like, don't you dare come at the throne unless you're ready to take it over. And Kendall Roy wasn't ready to do it. He was trying to power play his father and he had no guts. He sort of, and some people were disappointed that the takeover didn't happen. But I think it really sets up the larger thing. I don't think Shiv is going to be working for the congressman again or the senator due to the relation, due to the affair. The scene with Tom making her lover pour the wine back in the bottle was an amazing flex. It was just an incredible flex by Tom. I mean, holy hell, was that great. But yeah, I think it really did set up season two. Rory being exuberant, Roman is his relative is Rory. His sister's name is Rory. Roman being exuberant that nobody died as a satellite blew up. It was incredible. Who has two thumbs and only lost a couple? This guy. And man, that was another great line from last night's Succession. I would say the finale itself was sort of a classic HBO finale, right? Like Westworld, I think, bucked the trend where everything sort of broke at the end. I think Sharp Objects actually has that vibe as well. Sharp Objects, I'm on, but I wasn't as into it as Succession. I think it's good. I think it's really good. It's just extremely slow and brooding, and sort of that's what it is. There's excitement. I mean, there's definitely that excitement, but it's definitely going to come to a head, and it's going to be like, oh my God, this was all worth it. At least that's what I hope for. I keep waiting for it out of Sharp Objects. It's strong though. But yes, Succession was good. I'd give the season itself a solid A-, B+. I think Brian Cox as Logan Roy is going to be a strong contender for an Emmy. The Emmys, Golden Globes, tend to love first-year shows. I wouldn't be surprised if Succession gets a lot of that hype once the award season rolls around and HBO delivers another winner. And it's definitely direct competition with Billions, and we'll see if Billions and Succession, how that affect, you know, I think there's some people who might be just Billions stands. There might be people who be like, I've never watched Billions, but I really like Succession. If you're one of those people, I'd go and watch Billions. It's a different show. It has a similar vibe, but it's definitely about people with too much money and investing it and doing that. I think Billions is more of I wouldn't want to call it Entourage because that might turn some people off. But Billions is less of a, there isn't that, I don't know. It's a different show. It's similar but different, if that makes sense. I'd go and watch Billions if you haven't watched it. If you're one who watches both, we're good people. All right, guys. Take care of yourself. We'll be back tomorrow to talk Daily Tap. I have a couple of interesting topics in the hopper for tomorrow. Snowtap Gaming, sign up, patreon.com/snowtapgaming. Sign up today. Get your cheat sheet. Get your Fantasy Fast Five. We'd love to have you. Take care of yourself. Have a good Monday. Take care, guys. Bye.